You know, during my recent surgery, I had a lot of time to, to pray and to obviously deal with a lot of medical things. But in that time, I found out I needed to deal with a lot of spiritual things as well. That there were some spiritual things that I was kind of lacking. I think, you know, any of us ever had a major surgery or something like that, there's a lot of things, you get distracted for a period of time leading up to it because there's a lot of things you have to take care of, a lot of things you got to do. And I had kind of gotten distracted a little bit. I hadn't lost my belief or anything like that. But I just felt like I needed a fresh touch from God. And it was a while before I could get to, you know, get to where I could do that. And then one day in my prayers, I remember very vividly, I was just praying to God to touch me and to help me. And he directed my thoughts toward Matthew 6:33, which says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you." And it was impressed upon me at that time. It was almost like God was just kind of shaking me a little bit and said, "Michael, if you just understood what that verse says and did what that verse says, then everything else would take care of itself." Because at the time, it seemed like things were mounting and there was so much uncertainty and so many things that I was, you know, really needing help, struggling with. And he said, if you just look at that one verse and do what it says, then it'll take care of everything else. And you know what? I'll be honest with you. When I got that impression from the Lord, I thought I was doing it. I really thought, you know, well, I'm doing that. But the more I spent time and looked back at the verse, and I probably taught that verse, no telling how many times, read it hundreds of times, but there were some things that I didn't see, and those things is what I want to share with you tonight. And I want to look at it with you in a scripture, in your scripture. I'm using the New King James Version tonight because I felt it better served what we were going to do. And I wanted to start in verse 25 because there's some verses of context here that I think will help us as we get to that verse. Look in verse 25 where it says, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life." Don't worry about your life. If we could just understand that, we could stop right there and have enough on our plate. He says, "What you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on, is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, and they neither toil nor spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you?" And then he says, "Oh, you of little faith. Therefore, do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things." Folks, let me just stop. How many of you really understand and believe that your heavenly Father knows everything you need? You know, sometimes that simplest truth eludes us. It escapes us sometimes. But your heavenly Father knows all that you need. But he says, look at this. "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." Then he concludes by saying, "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Now, I want to just spend a little time and kind of unpack that verse, that one verse, and leading into that with the context of it, because he said, definitely do not worry. And he said, basically, I think what he was saying is that your energy that you're using to worry, you're spending the energy, but you're getting nothing back. Because worry doesn't pay anything back. All worry is going to give you is misery. You get nothing in return. If you're spending all your energy worrying about certain things, and there's not a person sitting in this room at one time or another that we find ourselves just in, you know, just tied up in knots, worrying about this, worrying about that. And we get, you know, we just kind of get to that point, and if we don't get control of it, it just carries us further and further and further, doesn't it? And we just, you know, our whole, and all of a sudden we're just a mess inside. That's why he says, do not worry. And then he, as I said earlier, he said, the Lord knows what you need. The Lord knows what you need. There's not one thing. You can't add anything to your life worrying, but God can add to your life because he knows what you need. Now I want to look, and I started to entitle this All These Things because that's kind of what comes to mind, but I entitled it Turning Worry into Worship. And I want us to see how we do that tonight. When I was looking at this to set this up as how to show you about an equation, but when I was in college, I had to take an awful lot of mathematics, a lot of mathematical courses. I had to take like 30, 35. I took 35 hours of college math, I believe. And I watched some of the other people, one of my roommates, I was taking differential calculus, integral calculus, differential equations, which went even further, and on and on and on. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Others are saying, what in the world is he? But this roommate of mine, he was all worried about having to take college algebra. That's the first, that's just the first course. He was worried about having to take college. Oh, I don't want to take college algebra. And he was pretty good in math. I don't understand why I was so worried. But he waited until his curriculum happened to change one day. And instead of college algebra, he got to take this thing called consumer math. Anybody familiar with consumer math in here? Let me tell you about consumer math. This is kind of how an equation in consumer math looks. There are four mailboxes on your street in which you live. The mailman delivers three pieces of mail to each box today. How many total pieces of mail did he deliver? There you go. I thought I'd have more in here that would jump right at it. Consumer math. And he would come back to where we lived and talk about, I'm acing this. I'm not acing integral calculus, I can tell you that. I'm struggling with it. But that's kind of the formula or equation that you set up for a consumer math problem. That's the way a lot of them look to me. And I say that to point this out. A lot of people in life have a consumer math kind of formula for happiness and contentment in life. And here it is. You probably can identify with some of it. You know, they say the right career plus the right spouse plus plenty of money plus good health minus all problems minus the pain minus the suffering equals a happy life. Isn't that about right? That's kind of what we've got in our mind. Because you know what? I found out we believe that happiness in life is the issue of need. You know, because we say, if I just had a better job, if I just made a little more money, if I just had, a better car than I'm driving, if the Lord would just bless me with this. And here's what we get tied up into on this verse here. And this is why I wanted to entitle it All These Things, because you know what? That's what we look at. We're looking at all these things. We fail to look and see what it truly says in that verse. Because if we did, we wouldn't worry about all these things. We wouldn't waste our time doing it. Because Jesus told him, he said, you're worried about all these things, about your life and all that. When you do that, here's what you're doing, folks. We all do this from time to time. Here's what we're doing. We're living life out of order. We're living life out of order. Now, I told you in a previous sermon, I don't remember which one it was, but I remember telling you in a previous sermon that God is a God. He's a sovereign God. He does nothing randomly. He's a planner. I'm married to a planner. I know what that's like. I wouldn't call myself a planner, but God is a planner. He organizes everything, and order is important to God because he's a God of order. Happiness and contentment in life is not an issue of need, folks. It is an issue of order. Now, verse 33 says this. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. If you restore order in your life by seeking first the kingdom of God, then all these things, he says, will be given to you. Now, the first thing I put there for it is when order is restored, blessing is released. Blessing is released when order is restored. You know, and that all starts, of course, with Jesus being Lord of your life. You've got to make Jesus Lord of your life. That's seeking Jesus first. That's seeking the kingdom first. And if you seek him first and make him Lord of your life, but I think it goes further than that. Because I think you have to manage it after that. You have to keep seeking. You don't get to a point where I'm seeking God and I found the kingdom and now that's it. No, I think you keep seeking. I think you stay on that path. But that's how it starts. And when you live out this God first life that I'm talking about, you put into practice a divine order that God had established from the very beginning. Then the blessing is released. Order is so very important, folks. How many of us spend so much time worrying about all these things? Well, when I was younger, I look at some of you young people. When I was younger, Brother Frank had to tell me hundreds of times, Mike, don't worry about that. Mike, you don't hold it on too tight. Don't worry about it. Don't do that. Because I did. That was one thing I was good at, was worrying. Because I had a wife and two pair of little eyes that were looking at me to provide and all that, and there was a lot of concern. There were a lot of things, and I love them. So really, I don't want to. And I didn't understand all the time, you know, the way I should have, that all I had to do was just be seeking God first all the time. And he would take care of all these things. Most all the things we pray for, folks, are a byproduct of seeking God first. A lot of things you pray for in your prayer life, you wouldn't even have to ask for if you just were seeking God first. If you're going after God first, he's going to take care of all those things. You wouldn't even have to ask. You wouldn't have to pray. There's nothing wrong with asking, but you wouldn't have to pray. If you look in your Bible, folks, from Genesis to Revelation, we read about God restoring order to his people. You see in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, everything was great. Divine order was installed. God is the head of all of it. And you got a man and a woman as a helpmate. And they, you know, they broke the divine order by the choices they made to sin. Throughout Scripture, through the Old Testament, through the covenants that God made with his people, you know what God was doing? He was restoring divine order the whole time. God was saying, you know, you've got off on the wrong foot here. I'm supposed to be first. And let me just tell you something, folks. God has no other place. He is first. If you try to put him second, you don't have him at all. I hate to tell you that. That's the way it is. If you've got him being over here in second place, and whenever you get a chance to, if that's the kind of seeking you're doing, you're not seeking after him at all, because he's worthy of being first, and he's going to be first. But all of that was about restoring divine order. Now we have the fulfillment of that in the person of Jesus Christ, who has the name above every name, who is the Lord of heaven and earth, and who has the preeminence in all things, who we were created by and created for. Folks, can I tell you tonight that if Jesus is truly first in your life, you will overflow with blessings. Do you hear me? Your life will be so rich in blessings that you won't be able to count them all if you make him first in your life instead of all these things. Now, as we divide this scripture here, of course he says, seek first the kingdom of God. Now, he doesn't say, one thing I want you to see, he doesn't say, don't seek any of the other things. He doesn't say, do not seek all these things. He doesn't say that. He says, seek first the kingdom, and all these things will be given to you. He didn't say you shouldn't have aspirations. You shouldn't have dreams. God knows. He knows what you want. He understands that. All he wants you to do is put him first. And you know what, folks? I found out God knows a whole lot more about how to bless me than I do. He does. He knows a lot more about blessing me than I'll ever know, because I'd mess the whole thing up. So what he's saying first there, when he's saying seek first the kingdom of God, he's saying redirect your energy. All of this energy that you're spending worrying about all these things, he says, seek God first and turn that worry into worship. That's how you simply do it, folks. If you're seeking God first, then you're turning your worries, your worries will disappear, and you all of a sudden you're worshiping. Because you seek God first, you're worshiping. Now, I'm not talking about just a worship service, folks. I'm talking about worshiping every day. I'm talking about being with God every day. That's you. If you turn your focus on Him only and Him first, then He'll get rid of all the other things, and you won't have any worry, and you're going to have worship all the time with Him. And you know what? If you think about it, one of the reasons we worry is because our whole world is filled with so many things to worry about. You know, don't watch the news. Don't do it. Sharon and I, we cheat a lot of times and eat in front of the television, just two of us, and we'll eat in front of the television. Inevitably, Sharon will have it on. You know, Sharon likes to watch the weather. She wants to know what the weather is going to do the next day. It's, you know, she likes the weather. I don't know why. But in between the weather and all that, there'll be some news come on. You know, and then there'll be these infomercials that come on. If you tried this diet pill back in the 1990s, you could be subject to kidney failure, liver dysfunction, numb hands, numb lips, paralysis of one side or the other, loss of vision. You know, and you're sitting there listening to that and you're thinking, I believe I tried that diet pill back. I believe I did it. Or here's another one. The coming economic crash is going to be worse than anything you've ever seen before. So get all the cash money you can and get into a bunker somewhere and hide until it's over. And then there's, you can't eat this anymore. You're supposed to be eating this. You know, you can't drink diet drinks anymore because they have aspartame. Right? Well, you know, before they said we couldn't drink the Coke because it had sugar. So what's left? I will tell you this. Diet Pepsi now has got rid of the aspartame. I don't have any idea what's in it, but in a few months, I'm going to be told, don't drink that either. So, I mean, there's just a lot of things to worry about. Here's my pet peeve here. If you've had an automobile accident, don't sign anything. Call the Alabama Hammer. The Alabama Hammer. Call this guy. Or even worse, I'm Alexander Shinara. Call me. Call me, Alabama. You know, I'm wondering how much money this guy could have, because you cannot go anywhere in the Southeast and not see a billboard with his name. It's all over the place. How much money is he making off people? You know, and don't misunderstand. That just drives me crazy when I see that. But don't misunderstand me. If you get hurt in an accident or something and you need your medical bill, yeah, they ought to pay for your medical bill. Car, mess your car up, whatever. Yeah, they ought to pay the cost of that. But then, you know, you see them on there saying, I got $350,000 from Alexander Shinara. You know, I don't want to say, how much did he get? And did you deserve $350,000? Is that medical bills or is that just cash you got? And is that some kind of prize you got for having an accident? And did the thought never occur to anybody that if you run these insurance settlements up, that everybody's insurance rate goes up, not just the ones that had an accident? We all going to end up paying for it. We're the ones going to be doing it, but you know, that's all on television. It looks like you got an awful lot to worry about if you look into the world. And we have to understand sometimes we can't do that. We have to take our energy off worry and give it to worship. And the Bible says the Lord inhabits the praise of His people. And when you have the Lord's presence, there is the fullness of joy. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Regardless of your circumstance or your pain, God says, you seek me first and I'll take care of all the other things. I have an opportunity this week to go by this couple in our neighborhood who lost their home on Sunday night in a fire that destroyed everything. And the man came out when I went over there and came out to talk to me. And one of the first things he said to me was, we lost everything. And I don't know why, when I heard him say that, I'd been working on this. And I said, no, you didn't. He said, yeah, we lost everything. I said, no, you didn't. I said, you're here. There's your wife sitting over there in the carport, the neighbor's carport. I said, you got that? Got your family? Got all that? I said, you got people that love and care about you? I said, you got, and I said, you know, what kind of a price can you put to settle on that? Because those are big, big things. And I, you know, I was just trying to be a little comfort in some way to them. But, you know, I thought about all of these things. All these things they had are gone, folks. It's gone. It was tragic to see that and to see where they were, it raining and them sitting in the neighbor's carport, being so nice and so generous to them. And our church, by the way, helped them a little bit. And I think we're planning to take up a love offering this Sunday if you want to help, help their family. Yeah, they certainly need the help. And they just had a lot of misfortune come their way. And it's been very, very difficult. But regardless of all of that, folks, if you keep Christ first, then he's going to take care of all these things. He can give you peace. He can give security to you. He can give you calm in the midst of your storm that you're having. He could heal every single hurt that you have. And I'll tell you that if you take the first step toward God and make him first, he'll take 100 steps towards you. You can't outgive him. When we put him first, we'll experience his love. Now, don't misunderstand. I was thinking about this. God loves everybody the same, folks. He sent his son to die for whosoever will. But now, until you put him first in your life, you won't experience his love, the depths of his love. You won't be able to see it. You won't experience it. Like I said earlier, he's got to be first. He can't be second or third. Let me give you an example here. There's one thing in this life I know how to do. I know how to grill steak out. Some of you guys probably think you do too. But I do. I know how to grill steak. Y'all are a little bit slow there, but you caught up. But I know how to grill steak. And one of the things I love to do, especially in spring and summer, is my family, let me say this, my family finds out I'm grilling steak, they seek my kingdom first. You cannot keep them from the house when we tell them, hey, we're thinking about grilling steak. Oh, yeah, let's go for it, you know. And they all come down. I'll never forget Grant's wife, when we first met her, I think the second time she came to our house, we cooked steak out. And man, she, you know, she sat over there, and I mean, she ate like a ravenous wolf or something. And I thought, it was later on after we got to know her real well, after her and Grant got married, she said, you know what? All this time before that, she said, I thought I was eating steak. She said, I wasn't, She said, I'd never eaten anything quite that good. She said, that's unbelievable. That's wonderful, you know. And here's what I'm saying. You know, when they bite into I go get the expensive cuts of meat, I take the hit for that. And I cook it for them. I got my own way of cooking it. I try to do it a little better, beats better each time. I'm sure you guys do that too. And here's we'll be sitting down and we've said our blessing. And I watch, usually Jonathan, he cuts the meat first and he'll put that bite in his mouth and then I'm, you know, what I'm waiting to hear. Oh, Dad, you know, oh, this is good. You know. This is the best we've ever had. This is good. You know, at that point, my home is the king, is my kingdom, and I'm the king, and I want to hear, oh, Dad, yours is best. Don't you think God kind of wants that too? Don't you think God kind of inhabits that? I thought about that this week. You know, the domain of a king, folks, is twofold. It's not only territory, but it's people. Now, where a king rules where a king actually rules and reigns supreme is his domain. Now, if he reigns supreme in your heart, if he's number one there, he's king. Now, you think about what that means. You got the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and nobody higher than he is. And he's going to be your king. He's going to take care of you. Okay, second point. Matthew 6:33 says, not only do you seek first the kingdom of God, but you seek his righteousness. And this, in this part I put, establish your identity. Establish your identity. Seeking God's right character or path, the right way of doing things. This is developing a character after seeking after God. In Greek, the word seek means to thoroughly search and to come to a binding agreement. A binding agreement. Now, you know, what that basically says to me, when you seek after God first, you make Christ the Lord of your life, then here's the management part of this. You say, I'm going to look into the Word of God, and there I'm going to establish my values, the way I'm going to live my life, who I am in Christ. My character is going to be established now. That's seeking after righteousness, being a person in a right relationship with God. I'm going to begin living my life from the inside out as I build my character. Christ is going to live inside out of me. I'm no longer going to be looking at what the world says and what society dictates to me about how I got to live. I'm going to let Christ do it from the inside out. And I think the way you establish your identity is to choose Jesus as Lord and Savior. And once you make that choice, it's a one-time binding agreement. Okay? You don't have to worry about this, you know. You just manage it after that. Because here's what I'm talking about. You don't say, I'm choosing Christ as Lord of my life, and then the next time you sin, have to re-choose again. It doesn't work that way, folks. You make him Lord of your life, and you just keep him Lord of your life, and you keep seeking after him. You don't have to re-decide with every mistake that you make. Outside pressure shouldn't affect you at all in this. If you're seeking after him first. You know what? If God's word says I'm supposed to tithe, okay, that's all I need. You know, I don't need a preacher begging me to do it. I'm supposed to do it. God's word said I'm supposed to do it. I'm going to do it. That's not going to change if the economy gets bad in the coming economic depression, you know. It's not going to change that one way or the other, because that's what his word said do. You know, the way I serve God, that's not going to stop because something kind of went wrong in my life and, hey, I had a little bit of fortune. I still want to serve God. You know, I made that choice. That's part of the binding agreement. Attendance. That's part of their agreement. You know, we don't get up on Sunday morning, Wednesday night and say, hey, you know, I think I might go if I feel like it, you know. No. I'm identifying with Christ. I'm a child of the King. I'm supposed to be there. So I'm going. That's the name of that. Outside pressure shouldn't have anything to do with it. You're part of community now. You know, we shouldn't have to rely on our pastor to pump us up to get us to do anything. We got enough to pump us up in the character of Christ and what he did for us. All you got to do is, like I said before, think about who he is and what he's done. Two things, who he is and what he's done. If you think about that, you got enough inspiration to do anything you want to do. But I'll tell you this, until you truly decide to put him first, live the inside out life, you won't experience the fullness of his blessing until you do that. I can assure you, you won't. Last thing, we not only redirect our energy from worry to worship, we establish our identity in Christ, and then we enjoy the freedom. And Matthew 6:33 finishes and it says, all these things will be added to you. That's the good part, isn't it? That's the good part. All these things will be added. God wants you to enjoy life, folks, that he's given you. He wants to bless you. Now, when God is first, all these things will be added to you. And you know, when he's first, folks, all these things won't have you, you'll have them. If you don't put him first, then all these things might have you. You got to be careful with that. But you know, God wants to give us exceedingly above all that you can think or ask for. He wants to give you more. You can't even outdream God. You can't even dream of how much he wants to bless you. So let me ask you to do this. Ask yourself the question tonight, are you seeking first the kingdom? Is that where your first priority is? Or have all these things got in the way? So redirect your energy from worry to worship. Establish your identity and your character in Christ. Enjoy your freedom with all these things. You don't have to worry. That freedom means I no longer have to worry about what I'm going to wear, what I'm going to eat, how I'm going to be provided for. I don't have to worry about any of that. I have freedom in that now that I'm seeking after the one who provides it all. And I'm going to seek him first, and he's going to do that. Turn your worry into worship by seeking God first. Let's pray. Father, how we praise you tonight for what you've just broke down, Lord, in this one verse, Lord, that says so much to us. And Lord, it said so much more than I could ever explain in our time allotted tonight. Father, I pray that every person that's sitting in this room tonight, Lord, would take a moment and kind of go through an evaluation and say, am I truly seeking God first in my life? And if not, Lord, help us to turn and seek you. If there are those that here, Lord, that don't even know you as Lord and Savior, I pray tonight that they would start seeking after you, because you've already been seeking after them. So, Lord, I ask you to bless these that have gathered tonight. Father, we worry about things from time to time. Lord, take that worry away from us. Help us to turn that worry into worship. Help us to make you bigger in our life than you were yesterday. Bigger and bigger and bigger, Lord, every day. Because of our worship and putting you first in our life. And Father, we'll give you all the honor and glory for it. And we thank you for the way you bless us, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.